Try that again. Morning, family.
Morning.
Good to see you. So God saved up the rain for today. Wasn't it great, though, that we got two dry days for the funeral and the Thanksgiving service? Made a big difference. Didn't we have a wonderful time yesterday afternoon, those that were here? What a wonderful celebration we had. I lost count how many people were involved yesterday in making it happen. You all made it happen with your contributions to the service and glorifying God in the sung praise and worship. But there were tens of people behind the scenes that made yesterday happen. So I don't know if this is our tradition or not, but I think you should give yourselves a round of applause. If you missed the service, there are copies available today of the order of service. There's quite a few on the desk out there, so feel free to take those. Also out there is the donations box. You can donate online, but there's a box for physical gifts as well. All of the proceeds from the giving from the Thanksgiving are going to Rowcroft, the hospice, which was so instrumental in supporting Stephen and Leslie. We also had a memory book yesterday, which I know some of you got a chance to write in. We forgot to bring it this morning. So it will be out next Sunday. Leslie's really keen that as many people as possible, perhaps a week on you've reflected more, so it might be a good thing, but you know, your chance to just write down memories for Leslie and the family to keep. Those that were at church meeting on Tuesday evening know that we announced the possibility of a moderator. Pleased to confirm that Jeff Andrews has accepted that. He'll be starting working with us on the 3rd of February. So he'll be working with the deacons, chairing deacons and church meetings and so on. In relation to that, there's an important notice today. So on the 9th, which is 2 weeks' time, we will be holding a special church meeting, members' meeting, immediately after the service, because we have to document one final vote on the CIO changeover, our charity status change, and we have to have a recorded vote, basically for transferring the assets of the old charity to the new charity. As I said on Tuesday night, you will see nothing different. But legally, we have to do that. So that will be Sunday the 9th. We're continuing today in our Galatians series. Diane's going to be bringing chapter 3 today. I want us to pray together before we start. David Redway is really not very well. A lot of pain. And I know Valerie needs strength and peace as well. So please be holding them up this week in your prayers. But we'll pray for them now. Father God, we thank you that you are our creator and our recreator. Lord, we know that you have the power to restore and to heal. We ask for David right now, for this morning, that you would give him the strength that he needs to counter the pain that he feels. Ask that you would restore the measure of health that you purpose for him, that you would be glorified in that. And we pray for Valerie too, Lord, that you would sustain her. The Holy Spirit, you would give her energy, you would give her peace, you would give her patience each day as she supports David through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's everything. No apologies for lots of notices. Stephen always said it was a sign of life, didn't he? We've got Wayne with us again today. Wayne's going to be leading the whole service as our lead worshipper. So over to you, Wayne.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Weather's nice, hey? Thank you for battling it. I know some people probably haven't made it, and they're in our thoughts this morning. I'm sure God is with them this morning, wherever they are. I know Leslie and the family are not here this morning. Crikey, they probably need a rest. And have them in your thoughts this morning. It's been quite a week of services. And those who were here yesterday, yeah, it was amazing. From Paula and myself, sort of outside the church, so to speak, It was a privilege to be here and reflect on although we only knew Stephen very briefly, he was very encouraging. And yeah, come and lead some worship at Paignton whenever you're down with D. And Mark, what an amazing job Mark did yesterday. I can't tell you. Amazing. And the Queen of Catering, who's now the Queen of Keyboards. If you don't know me, my name is Wayne Johnson. My wife Paula is sat over there. We are great friends of Dee and have been for many, many years, Dee. That's what brings us here. We have a yearning to come to the Southwest at some stage. But for now, we come as visitors. We bring greetings from Toaster in Northamptonshire, a little hub community church that we frequent there. So bless you and thank you for inviting us back. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. I'm going to start with a psalm. And let's just calm our hearts and put down any baggage we may have and just focus today now on our Lord Jesus. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. We have a great God. It's time for us to worship him this morning in spirit and in truth. We claim this ground, we claim this place for you now, Lord. Come by your spirit, we pray. Amen. We're going to start off with "Over all the earth you reign on high."
Darkest hour, you are the Lord.
us this morning. We want to praise you. Lift a banner of praise to you this morning. To you, the great, the living God. As I said, we knew Stephen not for very long, but he was very encouraging. And we were here in November, I think it was the last time I led here. And I sent Stephen an email on that afternoon saying, thank you ever so much, and We hope you and Leslie have a brilliant time in Swanage. I think they were going to Swanage for a week. And that's how we left it. And he replied, he said, thank you. Thank you so much. You're always welcome here. And Paula too. And Paula had mentioned to him a song that had really touched our hearts at our congregation in Toaster, called Holy Forever. It's a song by Chris Tomlin. Some of you may know it. I don't know. There's a few nods, which is lovely. So Stephen had said, please send me that song. We're getting quite a few new songs. Please send it to me and we'll probably do it. I don't think we got there. So it seemed quite apt this morning that I bring the song that I sent to Stephen to you this morning, whether you want to use it in the future or not. So this is for Stephen as much as anybody and for the Lord. But this was the song we sent to him, and Lou's very kindly come up to help us sing this. So a few of you know it. We're just going to play it. It's fairly straightforward, but it's a wonderful, wonderful song. Holy Forever. Sit or stand, whatever you feel is right for this sort of song. A thousand generations falling down and worship, sing the song of ages to them, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to them. Your name is the highest, your name greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation.
You will always be.
Stephen, that was for you, and you are there always, forever, now. That is hand. We bless you for the work you've done in this church. As I said yesterday, you came here a number of years ago, but you've left this place in a very different state to what it was, and we praise you and thank you. And I know you were singing that with us in heaven, Lord. Bless your name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take up the offering now for God's service in this church and the surroundings. So, thank you. Okay, they're getting ready. It's time for our children to leave us. Before they go, we're going to pray for them and for those people that give up the rest of the service to teach and have fun with the youngsters. So we're going to pray for them as they leave us. But Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you for our young people, the young people that are our future. And we pray especially for children as they grow and it becomes really hard to say, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. When you get to school, certainly secondary school, it's tough. But we just pray for them, Lord. Be with them as they go out to their groups now and be with their leaders and their helpers. They will teach them the ways of you. And they will come back full of life and been changed this morning. Amen. Have a great time. That means you. It was Ellie. Is she there? Is she still there? Have a nice time, Ellie. Dee's grandchild is here. Thank you, Debbie. Those of you here yesterday, Mark led an amazing time of sort of prayer and people were reminiscing about Stephen. It would still be good to have now a time of open prayer, not necessarily about Stephen, but some of you may be a bit unsure what's going to happen, or confused, or hurting, or still very sad. Some people may want to pray for Leslie and the family. The sick, we've already prayed for David, but there may be others. There may be other things on your mind. So we're going to have an opportunity now just to, in the quiet, you can pray out loud or just pray to yourself. But here's a space now for us just to open this up now to the Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, that you've granted Friday and Saturday to be same. And that made, in a way, things on Friday particularly a little bit easier for Leslie and the family. And for those of us who were privileged to be there. And yesterday, well, Lord, it was just great. And we thank you for all the people who came, all the travelling everybody did. And we pray that everybody's back home safe and enjoying their church's worship this morning, wherever they are. And we thank you for our worship. We thank you for Wayne, and we thank you for Diane, who's going to speak in a few minutes. Thank you for looking after her while she's been away. And just pray you'll bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will build this church by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, Stephen will be the first one to say that. But Father, we do thank you for his life. But we also thank you, Father God, that he's enjoying himself. And I can see him jumping up and down. Lord, he was a blessing to many of us. And Father, again, we just say thank you for him. But Father, as we move forward, we pray for your wisdom and your direction for your church, because you have promised to build it. And Father, we leave that in your very capable hands. Thank you.
Lord, we pray for all those that are bringing, we pray especially for Leslie today, in the coming weeks. We pray for Good it is to be in the silence with our Lord. In our busy world, at work and at home, how often do we get a chance to be like this? We bless you and we thank you, Lord, this morning. Believe it or not, we do rehearse, and we did come in on Friday morning to play around some of the songs. And this is the first time Lou's played piano in here. I didn't realise that until the other day, so well done you. When I got here, there was nobody really else here. There were loads of people out here with flowers doing loads of really amazing stuff. And I wandered in, I got my guitar out, and I just walked around the church playing a song, I think, and I don't often get a picture. And I grabbed my phone and wrote it down. It was a boat. And you were all in the boat. Some are worried. Some are hurting. Some are sad, not sure about the future. And a voice says, "It's okay. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you." That was Stephen. Stephen was gently pushing the boat away from the shore. The boat has set sail. At times it's going to be calm, like now. At the times it will be stormy and windy. We all have a part to play in this fellowship, even a visiting worship leader and his wife. But as Stephen said, it's going to be okay. I got back to Dee's, and she's got a picture on her wall in her dining room. I know she does this 666, if you've been around to 666. On the dining room wall, there's a picture. It says, it's a boat in a rough sea. It's called Trusting God by Hannah Dunnett. It's about God's faithfulness and dependency. And the picture is made up of great phrases from the Bible about God's faithfulness and dependency. And it's going through some quite rough waters. I will never leave you or forsake you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And these are all on the sails and on the waves. It's brilliant. And Dee must look at that every day. Great God we have. We're going to do a couple more worship songs before we get Diane to bring God's word this morning. We're going to sing How Great Our God Is, Splendor of the King. So let's stand.
How great open my eyes that I may see the presence that all about me. Open my ears that I may hear the voice that is quiet yet ever near. Open my heart that I may feel the love of God close and real. Open each sense and make me aware of the power and peace always there. I had no idea we were singing this song yesterday. Lord my God, when I adore someone, oh Lord my God, when I adore someone,
that we know you. You are ever present. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you and bless you this morning. Amen. I'm going to ask Paula now to come and do our reading from Galatians.
The reading is Galatians 3, verses 23 to 29, children of God. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's really lovely to welcome Diane this morning to bring God's word. Let's just pray for Diane before she speaks to us this morning. Father, we just lift Diane to you. We know you've been with her while she's been preparing this. They're your words, Lord, and not hers. And just pray, Lord, that the word will speak to us this morning in spirit and in truth. That we will go away from here changed from this place. Amen.
Well, I'm going to start with a confession. Right? I looked at chapter 3. I'd listened to Mark's sermon last week and I thought, ugh. And I thought, I'm not going to do any theology. That's all been done and I'm not going to go there. And I said, okay, God, you and I are going to have to do this, which is actually how it usually is, with my odd bits in, the other bits that don't always work. So God said to me a few words. Right, and as I can't write very well, and I cannot find my iPad, right, I'm afraid I have to do it on cards. So our lounge is now covered in cards, because I wanted to get the right words. Have you ever heard something that makes you sit up and go, what? Well, last week, the president of the USA said Canada is going to be a state of the USA. Now, he said some other things, and I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, I've been brought back from etc., etc. Well, I thought that's a bit similar to Revelation, but actually, is this true? Will Canada become a state of USA? Well, will there be other things that he said that will actually come true? One thing we do know is that he believes in this. But there is a bit about him, isn't there, about smokescreens. And so we should be looking what else is happening around, okay? However, we'll leave that to God, because only God knows. Are you all getting this? There seems to be a feedback. Is that okay? Are you hearing a feedback?
Yes.
You're fine. Okay. Those smoke screens, who knows? We'll all find out in time, but God knows. God knows, as God knows absolutely everything. And the Galatians, golly, they must have heard the letter being read out to them. And some of what he said, Paul, in that made them sit up. You stupid Galatians, he said. Now, that really does raise the head and make you say, what on earth's going on? And the thing about this is that, well, most, not all, but most translations have that put in a much better way, something like, oh, you foolish people, something like that. Well, we're told you don't call people foolish, but nonetheless, that's what we've had here. So when they were sitting listening to this in what's now modern-day Turkey, they must have known something was up. His greeting was lukewarm. The Ephesians, if you want to see him in his normal stance. He was definitely going on a lot about his authority. He kept saying, I've been sent by Jesus Christ and God. I have not been sent by man. That's one warning in Galatians. He skips the formalities and goes straight to the problem, again in chapter 1. In fact, if you read the first two chapters of Galatians, you pretty well get most of what he's going to say. By the portion of the letter we call chapter 3, of course, as I said, he was furious. He'd worked himself up. I always imagine Paul was a very passionate man, full of huge energy. You stupid Galatians. Goodness, what a thing to say. Don't use it in an email or a text. It won't go down well. The problem was that there were some people who, after Paul left, decided they would actually have themselves change how people did things. He was gone, so we'll change it to our thoughts. They taught that people could earn their salvation. You know, have you ever been there when someone said to you, a non-believer generally, sometimes it is believers, oh, you can be just a good person, so I'll go to heaven. And what do you say? It's what I say is, oh, well, maybe it won't work that way, but it depends on the person. Or you go to church to be saved. And that by going to church every Sunday or Saturday, you are saved. I think we won't need Jesus Christ then. So these are what some of the people were saying. Some of the people say, I'm going to go to heaven. But they don't believe in Jesus. How does that work? So, others said, new believers must become Jewish. These were Jewish believers, and they were saying, you must become Jewish. We have messianic communities coming from the Jewish roots. We do not have to join them, but we do not have to condemn them either. Right? Oh, they can come and become Jewish. Now, there were also some people amongst that crowd who said, we want all believers to be circumcised. That's the men. And the women must follow the purity laws too, because they wanted people to become Jewish. And actually, you know, circumcision had an awful huge following. But they'd already had it done when they were 3 months old or something. 8 weeks, 3 months, can't remember now. So you can imagine people were saying, oh. Some believed them. But those who were trying to make people into being Jewish and having them circumcised, well, actually, Paul doubted that they were believers. Then there were the accusers. You know something? There's always the accusers. I know most of us have experienced that, haven't we? We've had things said to us like, oh, you know, you believe in God. You believe in Jesus. Ooh. Yes? Well, they did the same with Paul, only they said to him they were making being saved by God too easy. They wanted these people to do something that made becoming a Christian really hard. And then there were some who were bewitched, as Paul says, by these false teachers. You know, can you imagine now why Paul, who was actually the worst persecutor of Christians, of believers of the way, as it was called then, can you imagine that when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, this man's life went topsy-turvy? He'd been persecuting people. He'd been saying Jesus doesn't exist. And then he meets Jesus. I mean, that's mind-blowing. So the man went away for 14 years. 14 years to different places to try to get his head in the right place. And eventually in Jerusalem, he was accepted as an apostle and an evangelist. You can imagine what he faced from the community he left and the community he joined. He faced a great deal. So he was furious with them. He was absolutely furious because he was passionate about the gospel, passionate about the good news. He said, people can be saved through the grace and mercy of God the Father and the trusting faithfulness of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the only thing we have to do in order to be saved is actually to believe, to have faith, trusting faithfulness. Paul, in his letter, was trying to refocus their thinking. Yes, it sounded harsh, but there was love behind it. You know, they must have been rocked when they heard what Paul had said. There was a statement made in, and is a statement made in Galatians called trusting faithfulness. But the first person that trusting faithfulness is connected to is Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus as having to have trusting faithfulness? He was born on this earth. He had to live a life on this earth, which he willingly did. He was taken to the cross. And if you read Deuteronomy, I'll give you the reading later. If you read Deuteronomy, you find it's a curse. It was considered a curse to die on wood. And Jesus went, the Son of God, the Word of God, the one who had lived in enormous wonder and grace with his Father and the Holy Spirit. And here he was, hanging on a wooden cross, taking the curse, paying the price of all sins, all sins. There is no sin other than the sin against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven. Everything can be forgiven if we truly repent and ask for forgiveness. We are given it. So Jesus went to the cross, and he did it willingly, but he did pray when he was in Gethsemane, and he said, Father, I've got to find it. Father, basically, I don't really want to do it. Abba, Father, if you can think of another way. And he prayed this prayer twice. If you can think of another way. Because he knew the incredible pain he was about to have. Emotionally, physically, you name it, spiritually. He got the lot, the horror, the things that he must have experienced take us beyond our imagination. But he does this willingly, and then he comes back. He's resurrected, and he comes back and shows, I, Jesus, I am the Son of God. He didn't have to say it. I am the Son of God. But why did he do it? He didn't have to. He didn't even have to come back after the resurrection. He didn't have to come and show us. And the reason he did it was because of his trust in his Father and the Holy Spirit. His faith in the Father's goodness and grace and mercy and love, and his love of people. And that's why he, first of all, had trusting faithfulness. And then it comes to us. And God had a few words about this with me. We kind of in that entered into a journey that requires everyone to be compassionate with each other. Everyone's in a different place. It also requires us to start opening ourselves to God, to Jesus Christ, in trusting faithfulness that God will heal what needs to be healed. He will enable people to learn to live with their grief. He will also call us to keep walking in faith. So that trusting faithfulness that we have in the Lord Jesus is actually essential. We've been asked to refocus, but not straight away. We're asked to say, okay, we have to walk the journey of grief, whatever way that will be. But the person that we need to now look to is Jesus Christ. So God said to me, you've got to refocus them. I said, really? Are you sure? This isn't a good job, Lord. I prefer the happy message. But the reality is that even amongst our grief, and some here know grief for other people as well, and what we have to learn is to walk that journey and allow things to be, but to turn and look to God, to Jesus Christ. Then we can take the words of wisdom that we find in the Bible. In Isaiah, it says, I will take your right hand, a bit tricky with me at the moment, but I will take your right hand and I will help you. And that's a promise. There's a promise in Galatians 3, and I said to Mark, I'm not going to do any theology, but in actual fact, I'm going to just whiz you through this. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, and those of you who don't, it's good to know this, right? Actually, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no one higher, there is no one lower, right? Everyone is equal to God. Jesus went to the cross and rose again for every single person, and we're all equal. We may have different roles. We may have different jobs in this church now. But that's God's calling on you or on me. Right? That's okay. Well, it'd be wrong if it wasn't okay, wouldn't it? Because God's called us. So if you have gifts and skills that you can contribute, that's good. But how does this work out in everyday life? How do we ensure that that through this period of time, we are able to kind of get over the obstacles, face the challenges, get out the hankies, whatever, right? Whatever. How do we do that? How do we pray for each other? Well, we do it. We pray. We read the Bible. I'm not going to ask you how many have read chapter 3. I'm not going to ask you. But it might be worth it. Because actually, in there is the fulfillment of the promise. That is what God has done. When we began to believe, the promise was being fulfilled. Because God promised Abraham, who had great faith in God and moved away from his own place to another one. And God promised him, you'll have lots of seeds, you'll have lots of people. He didn't say you'll have lots of descendants. He just said there would be lots of seeds. Now that's not just the Jewish, because they are as they are. They are part of the covenant, and that hasn't stopped for them. It's the Messianic Jewish, the Christians, people who believe we are the children of God, but we also are the seeds of Abraham and the fulfillment of the promise. We've heard about enlarging our bones. Yes? Here, the barn of Christ. And we've been asked to do that. So how do we do it? We're good to our neighbours. What we do matters. Does what you do honour God? Well, sometimes I don't. That's why I have to go and ask for forgiveness. I'm not perfect. Yes? How many of us, don't put your hands up. How many of us every day have to ask God for some forgiveness? Yes, me. Big time. And I sometimes say, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. No, you shouldn't. Okay. So, we look at one thing. First of all, I was to talk to you about Luke 8. I was to talk to you very quickly. And Luke 8 tells you all about the disciples being in the boat, which made me laugh. God works in amazing ways. And he works through people. If he can work through a donkey, he can work through people. Okay. So, they're on the boat. The Sea of Galilee changes very quickly. And Jesus is so tired. He does what we all do. He has a snooze. And then the Sea of Galilee, the water started to really increase and get worse and worse and worse and worse. And they're terrified. So they wake him up and say, aren't you afraid? Right? Help. And he says to them, you haven't got faith enough yet, basically. And he calms the sea down and the waves. And they're stunned. They've walked another bit of their journey of faith. So, you see, we may find sometimes those storms that we need to turn to Jesus. I also like, I can't say his name, it's just gone, Jehoshaphat. Don't ask me to say it just twice. Jehoshaphat. He's in the Old Testament. And boy oh boy, he had a major problem. And the problem is that actually, well, an enormous army is coming to fight against him and the army. And what does he do? Does he say, okay, let's get everyone organized? Right? No. What he says is, everybody will fast. Everybody will probably have prayed. But he said, I'm going to talk to God first. And that's exactly what he did. So when they got to the actual place where they were going to fight, they just found bodies, because God had worked in there. He'd been there already. So a miracle had been done. Okay. I'm going to say this. Those people who believed that Stephen was going to be healed. I prayed about it and I got nothing back, so I just prayed. And I'm sure many of us did that. But there will be some of us hurting. I'm going to, and if you forgive me, you can always tell me off afterwards. I'm going to tell you that actually he lived a lot longer than was expected under those circumstances. He had so much energy, which I loved about him, along with many things. Actually, he had that energy really longer than I expected. Yeah? And all of us will know that he gave us the enormous hugs. Yes? And they increased near the end for him and into heaven. Right? So I'd like you, I'm not going to provide the solution in that sense, I'd like you to pray to God to enable you to see how actually it was a miracle. It wasn't the one we wanted, but it was a miracle. And we must allow ourselves to grieve. We must give space. We also must live our lives. So early in the morning or late at night, whenever you like, pray. Meditate on the words. Draw pictures about the word. Do things that honour God. Sit down and think about your life. Are you doing something that doesn't honour God? Are you sinning in some areas? Well, I probably would have to, as I said before, I'll have to go and say, whoops, I want to stop that. And so there's lots of things, right? And that is what we're called to. And that is why at the end of Galatians 3, we are told that we are children of God through our faith, not works. And there are some churches that think, oh no, I do so much, all of them, I do so much, we do so much for the world. And you have to say, well, did God call you? Do what God calls you to do. That means you have to sit and listen and get used to the voice of Christ. But to accept Jesus is actually really simple for us, even though I struggled with it a long time. And that is, we have to believe and have faith. So as God said, for this journey, we must refocus and look to Jesus and his trusting faithfulness. Look to God, and to do it with the huge help of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things it says in chapter 3 is, why would they decide to give up God and follow these false teachers and miss out on the Holy Spirit? Because as soon as you believe, the Holy Spirit comes to live with you. So we are children of God. We are Abraham's seed. Everybody is equal. And we need to refocus on Jesus and to accept some of the wonderful words in the Bible that help us to be strong, to cry, to be vulnerable, to heal, to love, to be irritated by some people, and then to seek forgiveness and be nice to them. We don't have laws, as Mark said. We don't have laws. We can't earn our way into heaven. We do have principles, but they're not laws, right? We have principles, and that's why we need to look through the Bible. That's why we need to know Jesus Christ. And really, everything is about Jesus. Everything is for God. So Brother Lawrence said, when you're doing the washing up at home or in church, you're doing it for God. I'll have to do a bit more. When you're talking or listening to someone, when you're praying here with others, you're doing it for God and for his kingdom. And we were told, go and build bigger barns. And God will guide us if we start doing things that are human thoughts. Then we won't. But if we follow God and focus on God, we can get through this and we can honour God. So I'm going to leave you with that. Let's pray. Loving Jesus, we thank you for your trusting fellowship, faithfulness, your obedience to your Father, your trusting in him that actually his way is the best. Help us, Lord, as we kind of finish the service, that we walk the journey that is ahead of us. Help us to refocus on you, to walk with you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Wow, what a great word that was this morning. Thank you, Diane. She didn't know I was going to talk about a boat. God is working in this place. Be sure of that. Children are back with us. We're just going to do a little bit of worship and then we'll have some feedback from them. Sing, This Is My Desire to Honor You. Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
This is my desire.
This is my desire. live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
If you feel you need prayer, please make yourself known. We have people who will pray for you at the end of the service. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, but you think you want to know a little bit more about him, just come alongside one of us and we can show you that way, that brilliant way, that lovely way. Diane asked for this song. We did sing it yesterday. It's Goodness of God. I'm going to end with this one. I love you, Lord.
All my life you have been.
You were welcome in this place, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for these good people. Some are worried, some are lost. But David talked about hope yesterday. And Diane's talked about faith. And we have faith, Lord. We have faith that you will provide and you will make our journey a little smoother in the coming weeks and months. Amen. Debbie, what do you have for us?
So, we've started, haven't we, on a new book. Can anybody tell me what it's called?
Garden, the curtain and the cross.
Yes, the garden and the curtain and the cross. And today we were thinking about the first garden where everyone was happy and there was nothing bad and no one
was sad.
That's right. And what did we do as well? We talked about God's fingerprints being all over creation, didn't we? And what did we do with our fingerprints?
Put them on a leaf.
We put them on a leaf because the children thought it would be great to have a tree with every single child who comes to Sunday church adding something to it with their name on it. So can you show them your leaves? Wow. And then Ellie, what have we got to take home to do at home? Can you show them this piece of paper? What is it? What are you going to do to it? Are you going to do some colouring?
Stickers.
Stickers and colouring. So that there's something to take home. And what's the picture of? What do you think it is?
A garden.
It's the beautiful garden where nothing was bad and no one was... That's what we're doing this week.
Before Debbie comes to talk about these wonderful flowers that were here yesterday in slightly different form, and we've got some idea what's going to happen with them, I just want to say thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you for putting up with us again, me. And I bless you, and we just thank you for the welcome that you give Paula and me every time we come and look after Dee, check she's okay, check she's surviving, and she certainly is. I just want to finish by us all saying the grace to each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.